I was sitting around actually boxing up my files on a book I had just written about masculinity when I received this email from my father that said, basically, "Dear Susan, I have interesting news for you. I've decided that I am not the aggressive, macho man that I've been impersonating all these years." The rest of the explanation was in the pictures. My father sent me this series of snapshots. In one of them, my father's wearing a kind of sleeveless chemise and a red skirt, and the caption says, "I look tired after the surgery," and a number of pictures of my father in dresses. And this was the announcement that my father had become a woman.
This is Susan Faludi, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. She's the author of Backlash, The Undeclared War Against American Women, a book that's been called a feminist classic. She also wrote another one called Stiffed, about American manhood. And now she's back with her most personal story, about her struggle to deal with her father's unexpected revelation.
First of all, my father was 76 years old. And second of all, my father and I had pretty much been estranged for a quarter century. So it was a lot to digest.
What was your reaction?
At first, utter befuddlement. It took me quite a while to absorb it. I remember that night, my husband and I went to a concert. It was a Schnittke concert, Schnittke's Requiem for a Dead Mother. And I was sitting there listening to the music and just overcome, realizing, you know, I thought I had my father pegged all these years and I really knew nothing.
There must have been a kind of eeriness quotient to it also. I mean, you're a journalist who's written extensively about gender. As you said, you just finished a book on masculinity. It seems crazy to suddenly have all these questions about gender reappear in your own life in this very intimate, personal way.
Yes. I mean, my father had pretty much driven a Trojan horse into my professional and political domain. And in my confusion and bewilderment, I decided, since I'm a journalist, that I would go find out about this. And at the same time, in the phone call that followed the email, my father invited me to write her story. So that's how this whole investigation over 12 years began.
Had there been any hints that you had seen growing up with your father that he might have, I don't know, an unusual or novel approach to gender?
I was aware that my father was always trying on roles, sort of adopting a series of masks. And looking back, most of those roles involved a sort of performance, not to sound like an academic theorist, but a performance of hyper-masculinity, whether my father was playing the part of the controlling patriarch at home, the kind of household despot, domineering and even violent, or my father was kind of the ultimate sportsman. My father and I together, at my father's insistence, when we were rock climbing, rappelling down cliffs, doing a marathon bicycle ride through the Swiss Alps. So there were all these sort of dramas unfolding that were around manhood. But I think my father's confusion about, you know, what does my identity mean, went beyond that.
Right. Well, he has this really interesting background. I mean, he was a young Jewish boy during the Holocaust, which, talk about raising identity problems or questions. And he literally had to transform his identity during that time, didn't he?
Yes. I mean, my father, as a small child, was the only child of my grandparents who were wealthy bourgeois Budapest Jews. They had led this sort of privileged life. They had their summer villa. My grandfather owned two large luxury apartment buildings in Budapest. Everything was hunky-dory. And then comes the war, and my father basically becomes an urchin on the streets trying to pass as Christian and managing to pass as Christian with nothing other than a false identity papers and a stolen fascist armband. which my father ultimately used to impersonate a fascist Hungarian Arrow Cross officer to rescue his parents.
And that's an extraordinary story, which you had to really pry out of him later on. But what did you eventually discover had happened?
When I was growing up, I had little shards, but my father was not big on talking about the past. So, you know, I knew that my father had pulled my grandparents out of what was a Swiss protected house that was no longer protected. And my father, who had some contacts with the so-called resistance in Hungary, there wasn't a great resistance, but he had found out that the Arrow Cross, which was Hungarian version of Nazis, were about to raid this protected house and deport the occupants or, as often happened, shoot them into the Danube. So my father, with this armband and a rifle that had no bullets, and my father wouldn't have known how to shoot it anyway, marched up to this protected house and said that he had orders to take those Jews, the Freedmans, which was my grandparents' name back then, out of there. And he marched in and ordered at gunpoint, marched them down the stairs. I knew a teeny bit about it when I was growing up, and when I would push, my father would never tell me more. So when I started researching this, I wound up going to Israel to see my relatives, who my father also didn't speak to, so I hadn't met them before. And it turned out that not only had my father rescued my grandparents, but my father had also rescued his uncle. So if anything, my father was kind of downplaying his valor.
So he had had this heroic past. And yet, you know, from a very early age, survival depended on identity and having to mask his identity. Was there a gender component at all to that early on during that time, do you think?
Well, there's a gender component in one way, in that it's far more difficult to pass as a Christian during the Holocaust if you're male, because there was an easy way to figure out, just look to see whether you've been circumcised or not. And this actually had a term at the time. It was known as trouser inspections, and was obviously an immense fear for any Jewish man on the street. That said, I don't think, you know, it's not like the Holocaust was a switch that flipped my father's gender.
Right. What impact do you think he had on you growing up? Because you said the two of you, at the time you got this startling email out of the blue, the two of you had been estranged for nearly a quarter century. And he had been, as you said, a household despot, a macho, very controlling, in fact, even sometimes violent man, right?
Yeah, I mean, the violence was contained to the latter days of my parents' marriage. My father, who didn't want the divorce, became increasingly aggressive in his insistence that nothing change. And when threats and browbeating didn't work, my father became physically violent, culminating in a pretty awful bloody night where my father broke in with a baseball bat and a knife.
Was anyone hurt?
Yes, a man who my mother had just begun dating was in the line of fire, so to speak, and got pretty beat up. And that moment, not surprisingly, catalyzed my feminism.
So what do you think it meant when you get this email and your father announces that she's done with impersonating a macho, aggressive man, and that she's become a woman? I mean, it's obviously a huge physical change, but did you get the feeling that she was also saying, who I was as your father is not who I really am inside?
That's what she was suggesting. You know, I think this is all extremely complicated. And I mean, my initial reaction was everything from, you know, sympathy for her to suspicion to wondering, okay, does this mean does she just think this is going to be a get out of jail card? You know, I'm absolved of all my sins because that wasn't really me.
So she was living in Budapest in Hungary at the time, and you went to visit. So tell me about the first time you laid eyes on her. What was that like?
I got on a plane and went over, and there was my father waiting for me. People ask me, oh, what was that like the first time to see your father in a dress? What was your father wearing? And wasn't that a shock? And I have to say, it somewhat took me aback. It was something to get used to, but it didn't take that much getting used to. I have to say, what the hardest part about it was all the ways that my father had not changed, all the baggage we had between us, all the ghosts that haunted our shared past.
So it was like I'm seeing this person in, high heels and pearls, but oh my God, it's really still my father?
Yeah, of course my father was still my father.
Right.
These are external things. I think there was a deeper aspect of the gender change that was really important for my father and really important for our relationship, and that was that my father had decided, as she put it to me, I don't want to be this closed-in man anymore. I want to be able to communicate with people. I want to have some kind of emotional connection. And my father used her gender change to evolve in that way. I mean, it wasn't dramatic. It wasn't night or day. But she came to be more open. And I think, and also the other part of it is that we were, for the first time, really spending real time together, and I was part of the process of drawing her out by being the dogged journalist, which she enjoyed. We'd play this kind of cat and mouse game where I'd ask her questions and she would sort of withhold some of them, but then she would come back around, sometimes 10 minutes later, sometimes 2 weeks later, and give me a little more material to work with it. And she, she really enjoyed talking about her whole story, a story that she had hidden for so long.
Well, it seems like she really wanted to show herself to you and to bond as women together. But there are times when that sounds like it must have been uncomfortable. She wanted to show you her body. She wanted to talk about the surgery and pretty explicit detail.
Right. And I shuffled back and forth from being the daughter and being the journalist. I mean, the daughter part of me was, forget it. I don't want to see your surgery. My father had had the surgery filmed, not the entire surgery, but as she put it, the highlights, but 5 minutes of the highlights of watching any surgery, right? I mean, it doesn't even matter what it is. It's just gory and not what I wanted to see. But then the journalist in me was interested.
Why do you think your father wanted to become a woman?
I think there were so many reasons. First of all, I think there was something very deep and that went back to childhood. I mean, my father talked about that from the time my father was, 7, 8, maybe even earlier, she remembers putting on her, secretly putting on her mother's clothes. They had a maid putting on the maid's clothes, sort of Hungarian peasant dress. So I think there was a part of it that was always there. And maybe that part is, who knows, that's one of the great life mysteries. Why are we the way we are? But I think layered on top of that were other more, desires that developed later of wanting to be more emotional, wanting to open up. Perhaps, wanting to be a different person, feeling guilt and shame over some of her actions as a man. It's a very complicated mix, and I don't pretend to have gotten all the way to the bottom of it. I don't know that my father ever really knew. It just was a compelling and undeniable need.
Your father's struggle, to a certain extent, struggling with identity and trying to define yourself is always something we do partly in the eyes of other people, right? Because if there weren't people perceiving us, we wouldn't have any of these questions about our identity. Your father wanted a mirror, and you, in turn, wanted to expose all the secrets as a journalist, investigate your father's past, and sometimes against her wishes. But it seems like at heart the story of a father and daughter locked in this kind of epic struggle, but I'm not sure what the struggle was for.
Oh, I think the struggle was for understanding, for understanding each other, and for my father, a deep, deep desire to be perceived. And I think in many ways she chose me because she knew I was the sort of unrelenting investigative reporter. I mean, she would brag to people about, oh, well, my daughter, she never pulls her punches. You know, she's doing a very thorough job in this, in finding out everything about me. So, I mean, I think after a lifetime of being in a psychic dark room, my father wanted finally to come out into the light and wanted me to be the one who perceived and shared that perception. And for me, I mean, I am just immensely grateful that I was able to have those 12 years getting back into connection with my father. I regret that there weren't more.
Susan Faludi is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. Her new book about her father is called In the Dark Room.